Today on The Journey.
Paul says, if you have been unplugged from the power source of your sinful nature and you have been plugged into the power source of Jesus Christ, there should be a new life there. The old is gone, the new has come.
There is limitless, life-giving power available to the Christian. Power to live as Christ desires. Power to live in victory. So how do we turn it on? Well, today, Ron Moore tells you where to find the switch so that you can live in the new life Jesus promised. Also, please note our offer of Ron's study booklet titled Romans. There, he makes the foundational truths of the Christian faith easier to understand. Romans is available free of charge at ronmoore.org, and I'll tell you more about it after today's message. Now, here's Ron with Dead or Alive on The Journey.
There are some critical things we need to know as believers to live a life pleasing to God, to keep us out of spiritual danger, and as leaders in our homes and in our church and our communities, to keep others out of spiritual danger. So chapter 6, 7, and 8 of Romans are three chapters that tell us how we can do that. They will allow us to live a victorious, conquering, courageous Christian life. A life that understands and realizes and accesses and applies the power of God living within us through His Holy Spirit. And when we understand that, when we know these as truths and then put them into practice, we can live this victorious, conquering Christian life. We can crank it up to the next level. And that's what we want to do, isn't it? Wherever you are in your spiritual walk, you want to crank it up. You want to get to the next level. You want to make sure that you're living a life that makes a difference during these few short years we have here. So take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Paul has made this statement as he hammered home grace in chapter 5, verse 20, that wherever sin is, grace is there more. He says in chapter 5, verse 20, the last part, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So think about that. Paul says, whatever pile of sin is right there in front of you, there's a bigger pile of grace that covers it over. Now, Paul knew that there were going to be some smart alecks in the crowd. There's always a few. And so Paul anticipated how some would take this truth about grace increasing and turn it into a laughable statement. So Paul, assuming that, makes the statement in chapter 6, verse 1. Notice what he says. What shall we say then? Is this what we shall conclude from that? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? Paul's saying, I know what some of you are saying. You're saying if where sin is, grace is there all the more, then why don't we just go sin more so that God can show His grace? Because if we sin a lot, God will show His grace, and everyone will see what a great God He is. I can be a trophy of God's grace just by sinning a lot because He'll pour more grace on it. To that statement, Paul says, "Mei genoito, may it never be." The strongest Greek negative. And then he says, how can we, who died to sin, still live in it? Look at this word, died. What does it mean for the believer to be dead to sin? Well, in Scripture, death means separation. So someone who dies physically, their spirit is separated from their body. Do they cease to exist? No. They're just separated from their body. Spiritual death is separation from God. Does a person cease to exist who is spiritually dead? No, they exist for eternity in hell. So death does not mean ceasing to exist. When Paul says dead to sin, he's not talking about acts of sin. He is speaking of our sinful nature. It's in Adam. Sin in Adam, the first man, poisons the human race. So we are sinners. We have this sinful nature. So the believer has died to sin. That means we have been separated from our sinful nature. Does a sinful nature cease to exist? No, it still exists. It still calls us back sometime. We are familiar with its voice. And sometimes it calls us back to do things that we really want to do, but we don't have to. We do not have to live controlled by the sinful nature. So here's the first thing I want us to know. There are five things. Here's the first one. The moment I trust in Christ, God has unplugged my heart, the control center of my life, from the power source of the sinful nature. It still exists, but I am dead to sin. I am separated from the sinful nature. That is foreign to a lot of Christians. Because you see, we begin to think that, you know, I can just kind of live this ho-hum Christian life, and you know, I'm a sinner, I'm just this worm, and I have this total depravity, I'm in Adam. And when I do things I shouldn't do, and when I look at things I shouldn't look at, and when I'm involved in things I shouldn't be involved in, you know, I'm saved, but I'm just human, and God's gracious. That's ridiculous. We cannot live a perfect life. We'll talk more about that. But we don't have to sin. As a believer, we have died. We've been separated from our sinful nature. We no longer have to be controlled by our sinful nature. Here's the second thing we learn from this passage. God has plugged my heart into the power source of Jesus Christ, resulting in new life. So God has unplugged me from the power source of sinful nature, and He's plugged me into the power source of Jesus Christ. Look at verses 3 and 4, chapter 6. Paul says, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life." Paul says, if you have been unplugged from the power source of your sinful nature and you have been plugged into the power source of Jesus Christ, there should be a new life there. Because when you truly trust in Jesus Christ, the old is gone, the new has come. Old power source is gone, the new power source is there, and that results in new life. Let's look at the word baptism. The word baptism is a transliteration of the Greek word baptizo, and it means to dip. It was used in classical language of a blacksmith making swords. And when the sword was hot, the blacksmith would dip, baptizo, the sword into water to temper the material. Here's a very structural definition of baptism. I want to give this out because I think this definition is so powerful. Listen to this. Literally, baptism means this: the placing of a person or thing into a new environment or union with something else, so as to alter its condition or its relationship to its previous environment or condition. Now, you got to think about that a little bit. I know that. Placing something into a new environment, the sword into the water, so as to alter its condition, to change it. When we have been spiritually baptized into the death of Christ Jesus, when we have been baptized into His burial, that means identified with or joined with His burial, when we have been baptized or identified with or joined with His resurrection, Paul says, we have been altered. And when Paul talks about baptism here, I think he's talking about two things. First and foremost, he's talking about the spiritual thing that happens inside of us. We are identified with Jesus Christ. We are baptized with Him. We have been dipped into the person of Christ. We have been dipped into His death. We've been dipped into His burial. We have been dipped into His resurrection. It also refers to water baptism. Because water baptism doesn't do any of that. It is an outward demonstration that it's been done. And in the New Testament, when a believer came to Christ, water baptism followed it so quickly that a lot of times it was mentioned in the same breath. So there's spirit baptism. We've been identified with Jesus Christ. So think about that. We've been unplugged from the power source of the sinful nature. We've been plugged into the power source of Jesus Christ. That changes things. Look again at verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism or through identification into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. Are you living a new life in Christ? Or are you just as dogged by those old sins as you've always been? You see, that identification, that baptism means that we have been altered because of this new relationship. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are gone. The new has come. So, God has unplugged my heart from the power source of the sinful nature. God has plugged my heart into the power source of Jesus Christ, resulting in new life. Third thing, through the work of Jesus on the cross, God has freed me from the control of my sinful nature. Look at verses 6 and 7. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. So here Paul is saying that Jesus was crucified on our behalf when we trusted in him. And our old self, our sinful nature, was crucified with him. The word crucified is in Greek tense that means one time for all time. Christ is no longer on the cross. He has done his work. Now he sits at the right hand of God. His work is complete. You can't add to it. It is done, final, and full. And when that death happened, our body of sin, that is, the body controlled by the sinful nature, was unplugged. My sinful nature was rendered powerless when I trusted in Jesus Christ. Look again at verse 6. The body of sin was done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now think about that as a believer. Is sin still dogging you? Scripture says we have been freed from sin. You say, yeah, look, there are sometimes sin just overtakes me, man. I cannot help. That's baloney. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. You're not the first one. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can endure it. Or another version says, escape it. So, God has unplugged me from power source of my sinful nature. God has plugged my heart into the power source of Jesus Christ, resulting in new life. Through the work of Jesus on the cross, God has freed me from the control of sin. Number four, God has freed me from the control of my sinful nature so that I can live a life that pleases him. Look at verse 8. Now, if, or we could better translate it, since we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Oh yeah, in eternity, we're going to live with Christ, and that's going to be great. And it is going to be great, but we don't have to wait for eternity to live with Christ. He's living in us right now, and we can experience the power of God living in us right now. Look at verses 9 and 10. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. And the life he lives to God. Jesus died to sin once for all. He can't die again. His work on the cross is done. And the life he lives to God. And guess what? That life is in me. It's in the believer. And we can live a life to God just as our master and leader does. When we're following Christ, that's what we're doing. Now, again, I want to make sure we understand that that power source of the sinful nature is still there. I am not talking about sinless perfection, as some teach. John makes that clear in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. He says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. John is saying, if we claim that the sinful nature is eradicated, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But then John says, if we confess our sin, when we understand that sin is in us, and we confess our sin, he is always faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to purify us from all unrighteousness. See, I believe a true believer won't stay in sin for long. And you can say, well, how long is long? I don't know. But I just know this. If a person is truly a believer, there's going to be conviction. There's going to be guilt over their sin. If you are living in habitual sin as a believer, you're plugged into the wrong source. And it's time for true repentance. And it's time to cut out that habitual sinful lifestyle without any excuses and live a life that pleases God. Okay, I'm plugged from the source of my sinful nature, plugged in to Jesus Christ. Freed from the control of the sinful nature. Freed from the control of the sinful nature so that I can live a life that pleases Him. Here's the last thing. Every day I need to remind myself that I've been given this new life. That I have been unplugged from my sinful nature. That that power source is separated from me. And it's only re-engaged when I choose it to be. And I can't live like that. I have been plugged into the power source of Jesus Christ. And even when I do go back to the sinful nature, Jesus is still there. And by His grace and His strength and His help, He allows me to go back and unplug from the sinful nature, to get the sinful nature off the throne. Look at verse 11. In the same way, just as Jesus has died to sin, count yourselves as dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That word count is from the accounting field. It means to add things up and then make a decision on it. So you're an accountant and you add up all this stuff and on the books and you say, okay, because of these numbers, we're able to do this and this and this. And Paul says, count that. Do the math on that. Realize who you are in Jesus Christ. Tell yourself you are dead to sin. We don't have to live with the old attitude that the sinful nature dogs us all the time. We can live a life that is free in Jesus Christ with this new attitude. Look at verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its desires. Because of who you are in Christ, because of what He has done, don't let your old sinful nature control you. Don't put it on the throne. Don't let it reign as your master. Verse 13. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness. But rather, with Christ on the throne, give yourself to Him. Offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. You see, anytime our sinful nature is on the throne, it's going to lead us into sin. So Paul says, don't do that. You don't have to sin. You don't have to follow your sinful nature. You have been plugged into Christ, when you offer yourself to Him, all your parts are going to be instruments of righteousness, doing the things that He wants you to do. Look at verse 14. For sin shall not be your master. The sinful nature shall not be your master because you are not under law, but under grace. Paul circles back to grace. He always does. It's pretty good news, isn't it? Donald Barnhouse is an old commentator, lived back in the 20s and 30s. And when he was talking about this passage, he likened our journey on earth to be like a journey on a ship. And we have a master. There's always a ship captain, right? And so Barnhouse says, here's this captain. We started out with this captain, and we're very familiar with his voice. And when he barks out orders, we do them. When you're on a ship and the captain says to do something, you better do it. Well, Barnhouse says, in the middle of the voyage, this captain goes mad. And they have to restrain him. And in the mid-voyage, they appoint a new captain. So now the old captain has no authority. He's been put aside. We're to listen now to the new captain. Yet there's that old captain there. He keeps barking out orders. And we're familiar with his voice. And there's a part of us that right when we hear that old captain's voice, we're so familiar with obeying him that we want to do it. But he's the old captain. We don't have to listen to him anymore. There's a new captain there. The old captain can't be obeyed. It's a new captain, the new voice we listen to. And Barnhouse just says that's like it is with our old sinful nature. It keeps shouting out orders, and we listen to it because we're familiar with its voice. That's all we've heard before we became a Christian. And by the way, some of those orders it's telling us to do, we kind of like that stuff. Satisfied the flesh. But this new captain is Jesus. And we have to become familiar with his voice. We do that through prayer. We do that through reading his word. And when we become familiar with the voice of Jesus, the voice of that old captain kind of fades away. As Christians, our life does not have to be ruled by sin. We can be ruled by Jesus Christ.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Some have said that Paul's letter to the Romans is the Bible compressed into one book, yet few believers understand its brilliance, color, and depth. Now, Ron Moore makes that easier with his 50-page study guide simply titled Romans. This diamond of the New Testament sparked the Protestant Reformation. Its worth is so great that countless Christians have staked their reputations, their lives, and their spiritual destiny on its teaching. Learn why when you join Ron in his study of this foundational letter to the Christians of Rome. Romans is yours for free at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address, ronmoore.org. Or you may call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
The Christian life is going to look like this. As I live it, I'm in this battle. Sometimes I have a great day. I win the battle. Other days, I don't. Some valleys, some spiritual peaks, all the way until the day I die. And the day I die, then the sinful nature is taken away, and in eternity, I don't have to worry about the sinful nature. And that's the battle we're in, and so we should be progressing in our walk with Christ. That is so critical for us to understand, and that's what Paul is teaching us in Romans 6 through 8. Okay, let's look at Romans 6. We're going to look at verse 15. Now, the cool thing is, in chapter 6, verse 1, Paul is addressing a question about grace, and he said, wherever sin is, God's grace abounds all the more. Well, someone would say, if God's grace abounds all the more where sin is, then I'll just continue to sin. I'll create a pile of sin. Because if I create a pile of sin in my life, God's grace pile will be bigger, and everyone will be able to see God's pile of grace. Isn't that cool? And Paul says in chapter 6, shall we continue in sin that grace may increase? May genoito, strongest Greek negative. May it never be. Now in chapter 6, verse 15, he's going to take the five things we learned last time. Remember, we've been unplugged from the sinful nature. We've been plugged into the power source of Christ. That's happened so that we can be free from sin. That's happened so that we can not follow our sinful nature. And I challenged us to think about that every day, to let that soak into our minds, to understand that we don't have to sin today, that I'm going to go out today and I'm going to take on this battle and I'm not by myself. The Holy Spirit lives within me. Well, Paul is going to repeat that in these next verses. He's going to hit it from a different direction because it's so important. He asks this question in verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? Now here's what Paul's asking. So I know that I can't live in habitual sin, but the question here is, What if occasionally I just do some planned acts of sin? What about that?
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please remember to order your free copy of Ron's study booklet, Romans. It's available in print or as a digital download at ronmoore.org. Or call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Have you missed one of Ron's messages or series? Well, you'll find them when you click the broadcast button at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Also, please keep in mind, the journey relies on your generous gifts to pay for the airtime that makes this broadcast possible. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.